Welcome back, one and all, to another episode of The Damage Report with me, John Arella. And joining us, not just for some interview, but like for the whole thing, whole show, whole episode, contributor Rebel HQ, host of the Back to School podcast, Maz Jirani. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
There have been a lot of nonsensical conspiracy theories going around about exactly what happened when someone broke into Paul Pelosi's house and attacked him with a hammer. Now, it's important that you understand a few things. First, none of the people spreading those conspiracy theories really believe them or care. They're designed to distract you from the truth. That's the first thing. The second is the truth. It's more important that you understand that. And we learned a little bit more about what happened in that attack yesterday on Monday during a federal complaint that was filed. And we're gonna give you details on some of the new information that was revealed about the attacker, David DePape, who apparently told investigators that he wanted to talk to Speaker Nancy Pelosi and viewed her as the quote, in his words, leader of the pack of lies told by the Democrat Party. If she were to tell DePape the truth, in his words, he would let her go. And if she lied to him, he was going to break her kneecaps. That should really be the end of this debate, but it's not going to be because it's America and it's 2022. Moving forward, he had a goal beyond just breaking Nancy Pelosi's kneecaps with a hammer. He thought that doing that, she would then have to be wheeled into Congress, which would show other members of Congress there were consequences to actions. And I know it's been a bit since I was in school. I know there's a term for when you use violence to make political actors change their behavior, to use the threat of beating or killing them to change the political outcomes in a country. There's a term for that. I tried to Google, I couldn't come up with anything. I don't know what it is. Anyway, he goes on to say that even though he knew at some point that 911 had been called, he didn't flee because, in his words, much like the American founding fathers with the British, he was fighting against tyranny without the option of surrender. There are a few more horrifying details. I feel like that's a good amount though. Maz, what do you make of all this?
Well, there's so much to unpack. First of all, his plan was very Wile E. Coyote. Very one-sided. Everything had to go perfectly. Even imagine if in this crazy world of his that somehow he had been able to get a hold of Nancy Pelosi. The idea would be that Nancy would then very gently sit there and be like, "Yes, please break my kneecaps." And then again, nobody would have arrested him in the process, and or maybe they would have. But then she would have agreed to be wheeled into Congress so that the Congress could see her in her wheelchair. I mean, clearly this man has mental illness, and the bigger danger that we run into is something that I've been saying for a long time. It's political leaders and people in the media who say things and they say, "I'm just saying something. I'm just saying something." And they're not taking into consideration that there are a lot of unstable people who are listening to them. And for this person to go and do what he did, it's just heartbreaking. I feel so bad for Paul Pelosi. And the fact that there's this conspiracy now that they're saying that these two were lovers or whatever they're saying, it's gotta be, can you imagine like walking down the street and a tree falls on you and they go, "Oh, he had a relationship with that tree. He had a relationship with the tree and he's in the trees." I mean, it's nuts. And the poor guy's 82 years old. I feel like the people say sometimes they go, "I wish," you know, people go, "Oh, you should live to be 100. I'm like, "I don't wanna be 100. Because that just means more crap can happen. This poor guy in the past year, he had the DUI, which he brought on himself.
Yeah, that one was on him.
But then this, he's just got to be like, "What? I thought I was done. I'm 82. He should be sitting in front of a fireplace, smoking a pipe, talking to grandkids." Well, maybe not the pipe in front of the grandkids, but you know what I'm saying. And the last thing I want to say is, shouldn't they have, even when Nancy's not there, shouldn't they have a police patrol or some sort of private security in front of the Pelosi house? Yeah. 24/7. What's that? I'd look into that before I look into anything else.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure that that sort of thing will be looked into going forward. We have more details I'm going to get to. We're going to be talking about the right wing reaction to this more in a bit. But I just want to say, Maz, you have a very good heart. And I know that because you just said they say these things not realizing that there's crazy people out there. Whereas I would say they say things knowing there are crazy people out there.
Yeah, you're probably right
that there's crazy people out there, but you have a more pure heart than me. In any event, there was another layer to the Wile E. Coyote plot. He says to the federal investigators that he wanted to, quote, use Nancy to lure another person, but provided no details of such a plan. I don't know if they have more details of the plan. We do not. I don't know who that could possibly be, why he would think that that would work. Maybe we'll find out eventually. I don't need to know that additional layer to be completely horrified by literally every aspect of this, though. He is now facing additional state charges, attempted murder, residential burglary, elder abuse, assault with a deadly weapon, false imprisonment of an elder, and threatening family members of public officials. He is also charged with one count of attempted kidnapping of a US official on account of the performance of official duties, which carries a maximum sentence of 20 years in prison. And so I just want to say about the plot, because we were debating, you know, how likely it is to work. So to actually achieve his actual goal, I agree with Maz, seems super unlikely. But also, hasn't he kind of achieved his goal? I mean, he didn't kill Nancy Pelosi, he didn't break her kneecaps, but he wanted to send a message to the Democrats that they need to change their behavior or violence might come. Now, he didn't succeed in killing her, but he did succeed in breaking open the skull of her husband. And I would honestly make the case that the reason he succeeded isn't even in what he did. It wasn't on him at the end of the day. He attacked, he did that. But I think the signal that has been sent to politicians is way worse than anything having to do with just one man with a hammer. Because as we're gonna transition to in a moment, virtually every right winger with a following has spent the last 72 plus hours making sure that every Democrat knows we do not care if somebody tries to attack you, if someone tries to murder you. We will do PR for the attacker. We'll lie about their background. We'll pretend that they're a lefty who's attacking you. We'll make up insane conspiracy theories. We'll joke openly about it. It's gonna be our favorite joke for like a week, the idea that your husband's brains were bashed in with a hammer. And so if you're a Democratic congressperson, not only do you have to be worried about the actual physical violence, you've known for some time that that's likely. America is descending into fascism. That's one of the chief characteristics of it. But you also get to know that if you get attacked, if someone steps from behind a bush and stabs you, somebody shows up at one of your town halls with an assault rifle, if you're gunned down, if your family members are murdered, then millionaires will put on their ties and they'll go on TV and they will imply that it's your fault, that it's the fault of your side, that it's all a joke. It has to do with something homophobic. Think about how terrified you would be knowing that that's the political system that you're trying to serve in. I think he did succeed, not in breaking a kneecap, but in breaking any faith a lot of people will have that America can come back from this dark place it's descended into.
John, I agree with you 100%. And I, you know, first of all, it's got to be so hard to be in Congress right now in terms of just this fear that's on their minds. However, I think it also will reinvigorate them to keep fighting for their fight or whatever they're standing up for, because they realize they're not going to convince somebody who's so far gone to that they're trying to do what's best for America. The problem is we used to have political discourse. We used to say, I disagree with you, you disagree with me. All right, see you at the elections. Now, as you said, violence is definitely just, or I should say, allowed and ignored from one side. And we saw it on January 6th. Those guys attacked the Capitol. I mean, this is the most sacred place in the United States when it comes to our laws and how we abide ourselves. And they were called patriots. That blows my mind. Yep. You know, I do a joke. I say, you know, as a Middle Easterner, as a Middle Eastern, you know, as an Iranian American, I go, you know, when a Middle Easterner does something, they call him terrorist. When the white guy does it, they call it a patriot. And I'm sure there's some people right now calling this DePop guy, even though he's Canadian, a patriot, because in their minds, he was trying to do the right thing. And again, it just goes to this thing of going, Wait a minute, you disagree with Nancy's policies, but do you, I guess there are a lot of people who actually believe that she is evil and she is trying to groom their kids and take their money and all of that stuff. And it all comes, like you said, it comes from the rhetoric that builds up. And unfortunately, there should be at least some ceiling where everybody goes, look, violence against a Democrat or a Republican is wrong. Violence is wrong. And yet, as you say, we've gotten to this point where there's people putting on their ties and making excuses for this guy, coming up with conspiracy theories the same way they did on January 6th. The first thing they said about January 6th, they go, oh, those were Black Lives Matter guys. Then they said, oh, it was FBI's false flag operation. They wouldn't admit that it was their own guys. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, they're texting each other going, tell our guys to stop it. So they know. You know, the Sean Hannitys and the Tucker Carlsons, they all know that it's their people, but they try to, you know, shine the light, wave the shiny object over here to distract their listeners and their viewers to go, no, no, it wasn't us, it was someone else. And then when it comes out that there's a manifesto that's regurgitating their words, they say, well, you know, this is free speech and the guy was expressing himself. And it has nothing to do with us. And it's Nancy's policies and it's Nancy's fault because she was trying to make LGBTQ more accepted.
Social media posts included transphobic images.
All these nations preparing for World War Trans.
Linked to websites claiming COVID vaccines were deadly.
Is it possible that the vaccine actually can hurt you? Especially if you keep getting boosted? Can it weaken your immune system?
The death rates being promoted are whatever they want to be promoted as the death rate, one post said.
So is it possible that the CDC has been classifying those deaths, deaths from old age or other factors, as coronavirus deaths?
Also posted links to YouTube videos with titles like Democrat Farce Commission to Investigate January 6th.
It's a farce. It's a complete farce.
Global elites plan to take control of your money.
They're hiring another 87,000 armed IRS agents just to make sure that you obey. Got it? Got it? Is it clear?
So it looks like we've potentially have somebody here who embraces conspiracy theories.
Yeah, it seems like that. But I don't know if he was referring there to the guy who attacked Nancy Pelosi's husband or one of the most popular cable news hosts. They both embrace conspiracy theories. And weirdly, they seem to embrace the exact same conspiracy theories, using the same exact language to express them. Weird how that works out. It's almost as if you can watch a cable news show night after night after night and hear stuff that Alex Jones might have been a little bit shy to talk about just 5 or 6 years ago. That was an amazing mashup put together by Kat Abou of Media Matters. It shows how Tucker Carlson has been stoking this insanity hour after hour, night after night, month after month for the last few years. And I think he knows how much overlap there was between the beliefs of this attacker and what he pretends to believe on his show. And so he took to the airwaves to defend himself and to pretend like there's nothing wrong with telling these insane people that something needs to be done. Take a look at this.
They're telling you this is an example of stochastic terrorism, which is a completely meaningless phrase that emerged like a virus out of the university to infect our public discourse, or more precisely, to suppress our public discourse. Reuters has reported that, we're quoting, terrorism and extremism experts believe it could be an example of the growing threat of so-called stochastic terrorism, in which sometimes unstable individuals are inspired to violence by hate speech. Okay. What is hate speech, by the way? All of a sudden, everyone in the media has, sort of without explaining why, agreed that there's this thing called hate speech that's real and probably actionable. They can find a $1 billion judgment against you if you commit hate speech. But just to remind everyone watching, there's no such thing as hate speech. Hate speech is speech people hate, usually the people in power. The truth is, all speech, except speech that encourages people to imminent illegal action, like go shoot that guy. Short of that, there's no hate speech. All of it's allowed under the United States Constitution.
Okay, so I know what a lot of you are thinking. Does he really not know how to pronounce stochastic terrorism? Now, I can't rule out the possibility that he doesn't know. He's not nearly as smart as most people seem to think he is for some reason. But it's also just as likely that, like with the names of people of color, he pretends to not know how to say them because that's what his audience wants. They like the idea that no one would care enough about these people or concepts to actually understand them. I'm sure he's heard the term. He knows that he doesn't care. Now, all of that is framed as him defending free speech, him defending your ability to say that there needs to be violence or whatever. It's not. It's about him. He is now being pressured. He is being targeted for encouraging stochastic terrorism. He knows that, which is why this entire thing is saying, no, it's all totally legal. It's all totally cool. Nothing can be done about it unless I literally say, hey, you, Joe, watching this, go kill Mary. I can't suffer any consequences. And honestly, he's probably right. We allow virtually everything to go by without consequences so long as you are rich and powerful. Tucker Carlson is both of those things. And so he's not going to learn anything from this. He's not going to modify his behavior. He's probably going to get a raise from Fox. And he's going to go right back to encouraging this exact same type of violence. Maz, what do you think?
You know, you're right, and I get into debates a lot of times with my conservative friends who say, oh, the Democrats are going to make America communist and socialist and all of the other stuff. And I tell them, listen, at the heart of it, America is a capitalistic society. It will continue to be a capitalistic society. And so, whereas our laws are written in ways where you can't get in trouble, or he can't get in trouble for spewing the hate that he does, you would hope that the free market would do something the way ultimately Twitter did when Trump was kicked off. It took Twitter to kick him off. The Congress wasn't able to stop him. So similarly, in this case, as you said, it's unfortunate that Fox, obviously they get ratings and they want him, but it would take, I don't know what it would take. It almost falls on, I almost want to talk to the viewers and go, guys, you're being played. But I mean, I guess they don't care because
they want to be played.
They want to be played because if they turned him off, then he would go away, or at least his voice would be quieted somewhat. And he wouldn't have this effect that he does. And it's unfortunate because there was a time, the first segment you guys played where he was spewing all the different conspiracies or the vaccines or this and all that. There was a time where, you would say, oh, the CDC might have been, let's say, for example, you come to me and say, CDC's been counting the deaths of elderly and putting it towards the coronavirus. Then you and I could have a debate where we go, well, yeah, but there was coronavirus present. And so they're calling it the coronavirus because that's probably the ultimate thing that killed the person. And you might say, no, that's not the case. We have a debate. And then we come to a conclusion where we agree or disagree. But the way they sell this, the way they spew it, even his tones, is it possible that it could have been the thing they're killing the old people? And so you're watching it at home. You're going, yeah, is it possible that the So people are getting riled up by watching this bozo present things the way that he does. And there's a reason why, because people want this, right? We know that emotions are what gets people going. And so there's a reason why Fox has this high viewership. And let's say something like the PBS NewsHour it doesn't. And it's unfortunate, but it's human nature. And I don't know when and how or what will ever cause someone like Tucker Carlson to go away, and or if someone will just replace him.
That would be the solution, I think. I mean, I remember when Bill O'Reilly used to be the bad one. Glenn Beck used to be the bad one. There's always a worse one coming that drives away the previous. Ann Coulter was the bad one. It turns out they looked around the country and they found worse people. And yeah, you're totally right about his appeal. He tried to be just a regular Republican pundit 15 years ago, and he couldn't generate an audience. So instead, now he spreads conspiracy theories and white supremacy all under the guise of, I'm saying forbidden things. I'm not allowed to say the things I'm saying. I'm being censored for these things that I, a millionaire being paid millions to say these things every night to millions of people, but I'm not allowed to say these things. It's all forbidden. and very mysterious. Don't you feel like you're getting some sort of insider access, that you're transgressing in some way? They don't want you to say that. You're allowed to, and you can post my videos and stuff while talking about how you've been censored. It's all a massive con. These people get off on pretending that they're victims.
Yep.
Anyway, I want to transition to the other side of this. There's the conspiracy theory side, and then there's the just, we like that Paul Pelosi was attacked side. Let's jump into this video.
It is not impossible to protect our kids at school. They act like it is. Nancy Pelosi, well, she's got protection when she's in DC. Apparently her house doesn't have a lot of protection. But if our lawmakers have protection, if our lawmakers can have protection.
Oh, that's a good one. I get it, I get it. Her house isn't protected, and her husband's skull was bashed in with a hammer. Do you get it, everyone? It's funny, because her house wasn't protected from the right-wing crazies, and so her husband was almost murdered with a hammer. He may never recover. He's still in the hospital right now. Do you get it? The host loved it. He was covering his face giggling at how funny it was. The crowd loved it too. It was funny that Paul Pelosi almost was murdered. So look, here's why I wanted to play this for you. They are spreading all of these conspiracy theories about the attack. So their first attempt to dissuade you from thinking about this in a serious way was to say, well, this is just an instance of crime. Isn't it sad there's so much crime? Then they said, you don't have to worry about this because gay or something, I don't know. And they purport to believe all of those things, but let's be clear. Once you get past all of that, they're going to clearly demonstrate that they don't care. This is not about some alternate theory. They just genuinely think it's funny. They genuinely like that he almost died. That if Nancy Pelosi had been there, maybe her kneecaps would have been shattered. Maybe he would have bludgeoned her skull in. Maybe she would be dead right now. They think that that's a funny thing. Carrie Lake is not just an OAN reporter or a state legislator, as bad as both of those things would be for what you just saw. She might well be a senator soon. And she is laughing and chuckling along because someone almost assassinated Nancy Pelosi. Maz, you're a comedian. You get the jokes. What do you think about that joke?
Well, first of all, it's worse. She might be a governor soon. You said senator.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Yes. But either way, there was a time when you would say there was a time when you would say that, and we would look at that candidate and we would laugh. The same way I said when Donald Trump was running, I remember everyone at the beginning, everybody thought it was funny. They go, ha ha ha, he's running, ha ha ha. And then as he kept winning, we're going, ha ha ha, he's running. And then suddenly we're like, ha ha, he's running. And we just got scarier and scarier. The fact that this lady could very well be the governor of Arizona is scary. There is a gene missing in these people, which is an empathy gene, a sympathy gene. Like, how do you not? I remember, you know, John McCain at least had a sense of decency when that lady in that famous clip where he was running against Obama and she goes, well, he's a Muslim. And the lady goes, no, he's, and then Biden, I mean, McCain stopped the lady. No, he's not a Muslim. He's actually a good person, which, by the way, indicates then that Muslims are bad people. But still, he tried his best to have a moment of seriousness and gravity to that moment. And Carrie Lake could have taken this moment to say, look, any kind of violence is wrong, et cetera, et cetera. Now let me go into why I think we need more protection or whatever that is. But she just leaned into this. And I could only hope, John, somewhere in the back of my mind and in deep in my heart, I just pray this thing karma just comes around. Like I hope, like, I don't know what, like maybe something like Carrie Lake trips or something. I mean, I hate to wish anything bad for anybody.
No,
or like a bird. I wish like she walks out and a bird just poops right on her head. Like I'm not saying anybody should attack her. I'm saying a bird should poop on her head, or just like, you know, when you park your car and birds just keep pooping on it. Mm-hmm. I wish that happens to Carrie Lake's car for a long time, because for her to say that, it's just so insensitive. And also it just it excuses this. So if there's another unstable person in the audience, they're going, oh, okay, it's fine then. We'll just attack more elderly people.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it certainly says something about her, but she was a newscaster and she's a savvy politician, which means she knows how to read crowds. This says so much more about the crowd. She knew that if I joke about this 82-year-old man having his head bludgeoned in with a hammer, they'll like it. They want jokes about political violence, and that's what I'll give them. She's not the only one, by the way, that thinks that this is hilarious. Claudia Tenney, US House candidate, New York's 24th district, quote retweeted this photo of a bunch of Republican guys all wielding hammers. And she says, LOL. You get it? Because the other guy had a hammer. You remember he had the hammer that he bashed Paul Pelosi's skull in? It's funny because he had a hammer. I don't know, like when someone tried to murder Reagan with a gun, did a bunch of Democrats just hold big guns and all the Democratic Congress people were like, ha, it's a gun. You get it? Because they tried to shoot him and now they have guns. I don't think that's how this used to work. I don't understand why this has to be the way that America falls so utterly horrendous in every possible way. But that's the direction that we're going. And as we transition to our next break, I'm gonna leave you with a thought. So as Maz so rightly said earlier in this segment, there's a lot of crazy people out there. If you are one of the other crazies and you're watching all this, you watch the guy attack Pelosi, and then you watch the way everyone has talked about it, do you think you're less likely to want to attack or kill someone right now? Now that you've seen that every Republican thinks that it's hilarious, they don't think that it's unacceptable. They're not spending the last few days nonstop telling people, you are not a good conservative if you do this. This is not the way that we make change. What do you think the crazies are thinking from what they've witnessed over the last week? The protests in Iran continue and so does the oppression, although it will now be moving into a new phase. Iran has announced that they're going to be holding public trials for between 1,000 and 2,000 people in their capital. And I'm not a historian or anything, but generally massive group show trials, not a good sign. The IRNA news agency, state run, of course, quoted judicial officials saying that 1,000 people who had a central role in the protests, central role, it's people that they bundled into trucks. They have no idea what their role was. Anyway, they say that they're gonna be tried for their subversive actions, including assaulting security guards, setting fire to public property and other accusations. Iran's judiciary chief says those who intend to confront and subvert the regime are dependent on foreigners and will be punished according to legal standards. Without a doubt, our judges will deal with the cases of the recent riots with accuracy and speed. Yes, so everyone calm down. This is just a straight up legal judicial thing where accuracy is key. And you know that because some of those they'll be trying have been accused of corruption on earth and war against God, offenses that carry the death penalty. Also, little hard to prove, war with a divine being that these individuals might or might not actually believe in. Sort of a weird way to frame this. But anyway, my takeaway, not being an expert on the Iranian legal system, is this is gonna be a bunch of BS and they probably will end up conducting large-scale executions. That's my fear. Maz, what do you think?
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, this regime is brutal. They're totally out of touch with reality. They're a majority of the people running this country are old. They have these laws that are oppressive. They're hidden in under the, you know, it was supposed to be Islamic. And if you look at Islam, again, I'm not that religious, but there is a world in which you say, oh, Islam would not execute a mass execution like this. Like there's a world in which you go, oh, if you're really religious, it's kind of like what we run into with the Christians here when they go, oh, we hate a certain people and we should kill a certain people. Similarly, you would plead to these people that are the leaders of this country and go, if you're really an actual religious person, why are you killing these young people who are just protesting for their freedom and their rights? I mean, it all started with the killing of Mahsa Amini, which happened a few months ago because her hair was out of her hijab by just a little. But you could go back 43 years. These guys have been brutal to their people and their citizens for 43 years. And the first thing they did, and this is why I say Americans should really care about this. The first thing the Islamic Republic did once it was established was it told women, you have to cover yourselves up. Men, you wear whatever you want. Women, you got to cover yourselves up. Women in court, you are worth half the testimony of a man's. Women were suddenly all just oppressed. And then they went after LGBTQ. Then they went after religious minorities. And it went on and on and on. And some Americans go, well, that's a land far away. I go, no, no, no. That's a cautionary tale. Because just this year, the Supreme Court took a woman's right away to choose whether you're pro or anti-abortion. That's not the question. Women no longer have the right to choose. And then Clarence Thomas said that they're going to look into gay marriage next. And so the oppression that we see in Iran is slowly creeping into our politics. And so we should care and support the people of Iran because they truly are trying to fight for their freedom and democracy. And you're right, this is a very, very dark stage in this, what I call now a revolution. It's no longer protest. The young want their freedoms, they want opportunities. The government is corrupt. They've embezzled money. They've sent their money overseas with their own children living without having to cover themselves up in the West. It's the worst regime in the world. And I really hope that we as Americans continue to amplify the voice of the people of Iran and let the world know that they're getting ready to do mass executions and something's got to happen. Now, what that is, I'll leave up to the leaders of the world. But you know, we've got to do something because in front of our eyes, a genocide is happening from a government to its own people.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no idea what's going to happen or even what should happen. It's going to come down to what the international community is going to allow. I know that, the Biden administration put new sanctions on some members of the regime last week. There were already a lot of sanctions. I don't know how much extra persuasive power that will have. But a lot of it is also going to come down to the actual protest movement, what their strategy is going to be going forward. We know that at least 270 people have already been killed. We really have no idea. When they've arrested 14,000, when they've disappeared literally thousands of people, I would caution anyone to tread carefully in stating definitively how many of those people will return again ever as free people. So technically 270 people have died, but we have really no idea. And I don't know how these trials are gonna play out. Iran has had many opportunities to change course, to try to defuse this situation. And basically every instance they have gone for provocation, oppression, almost as if they want these protests to continue. But anyway, along the way, a lot of people have died.
Yeah, and I think, John, I think that already a revolution has happened and is continuing to happen because no matter what happens, it will never go back to the way it was just a couple months ago. After Mahsa Amini, what we've seen now, these protests have been bigger than ever. They've been worldwide. There's been oil workers going on strike. There's been a lot of activity and it continues. They keep wanting it to stop, but it continues because they've been going into universities and kidnapping students. They set fire to their political prison and basically killed political prisoners and said, oh, they set it on fire. I mean, it's just such a farce what they are doing to their own people. And from what I hear, they're getting, and again, I don't have the facts on this, but I've been reading some places saying that they're actually bringing in fighters from other countries to help them quash these protests. But I don't think they're going to. I don't think they're gonna. I think the people have had it. It's been way too long of oppression. And at a certain point, the numbers will outweigh your oppression. So
hopefully,
power to the people of Iran.
You can be forgiven if you find it difficult in 2022 to keep track of all of the threads of the various Trump legal troubles and court cases and investigations. But I will remind you of one. The House Ways and Means Committee has been trying for literally years at this point to get access to Donald Trump's tax returns, which are better hidden, better protected than the Ark of the Covenant was. They've been trying for years. They believe that within those tax returns will be evidence of tax fraud and a variety of other things like that. Well, former President Trump earlier this week filed an emergency application with the Supreme Court to block a House committee from obtaining those tax returns. You see, a federal appeals court last week stopped him from stopping the acquisition of those documents. So he decided, okay, I'm gonna take it to the Supreme Court, a significant portion of which he put on that court. And what do you know? That strategy has worked for him. As of this morning, the Supreme Court has stepped in with the Chief Justice saying that as of right now, they will not be able to get access to those tax returns, saying it is ordered that the mandate of the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit is hereby stayed pending further order of the undersigned or of the court. And John Roberts has given the committee in Congress until November 10th to respond to this. Now, that's not that long in the future in terms of the number of days, but in another sense, it is actually pretty far in the future. And let me explain how. Right now, the Democrats are in charge of Congress, which means they're in charge of the House Ways and Means Committee. In a week or so, the elections will be done and that will be coming to a close. And in just a couple of months, they will likely not be in charge of the House Ways and Means Committee, which means any request to see his tax returns to uncover possible crimes will be Thanos. Just it will be gone. And so all John Roberts really needs to do is delay it by like a month or two. And then that's as good as delaying it for 20 years from their point of view. So it is convenient, Maz, to have Supreme Court justices sort of owing you, I guess.
You know, anyone who's ever gotten a summons for jury duty knows that you can sometimes postpone it. And you can say, oh, I got stuff, and you postpone it. And you just keep postponing it for as long as you can. And sometimes in your mind, you're like, oh, I got away with it. Donald Trump is the master of getting things postponed. His whole life just keeps going into postponement. And it is so frustrating to watch. It's like this dude is clearly trying to avoid jury duty, or in this case, ending up in an orange jumpsuit. And he's got co-conspirators that allow him to do it. And it's just frustrating. I will tell you one thing that I was kind of like, because I've been so immersed in the Iran news, and then I kept hearing little things of Kanye's anti-Semitism, and just the news that I've been getting has just been kind of limited. For the past week, I had not heard as much about Trump, and it was so relaxing. Oh my gosh. I mean, don't get me wrong. The anxiety of Iran was killing me, but just to not hear about Trump was so, he won't go away. Like, can't he just go, I don't know, go to Russia, fine. I mean, just finish it. Like, we all know how it ends. He's on a plane to Russia, he ends up there, and then, you know, he's one of theirs. So I don't know. I don't know how this all ends. It's all, oh, God.
He's supposedly a billionaire. Just go be a billionaire. Just that seems like a reasonable request.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. So we'll see. Maybe they'll get him. Probably not. When we say not to stake any of your life force into the idea that there will be consequences for the crimes Trump has committed throughout his life, this is what we mean. There's always some little thing, some little delay, some little, oh, we're worried about the political implications. Oh, there's an election coming up. There's always something for him.
I've kept this to myself for 30 years. I protected him. And I wanted this to remain private for obvious reasons.
And so what makes you want to speak about it now?
When I saw the first woman come forward a few weeks ago, he immediately called her a liar and said, I never sign anything with the letter H. And I knew I had many cards from him where he signed the letter H. And so I believed then that she was telling the truth.
Jane Doe showed us some cards and letters she says she received from Herschel Walker, some signed with a flourish, that H. She says she took this photo of Walker asleep. They had met, she says, in the late 80s when he was married to his first wife, and she says had an affair that lasted 6 years.
So this is the second woman who alleges that Herschel Walker pressured her to have an abortion and paid for it. Now, her story had already come out, and many right-wingers said, well, she's anonymous. We don't know who it is, so we don't need to trust this. I'm sure they'll be revising that statement now that she's gone on camera for an interview. In any event, what she had to reveal got pretty dark at times. Take a look at this a little bit.
He was very clear that he did not want me to have the child. And he said that because of his wife's family and powerful people around him, that I would not be safe and that the child would not be safe.
That's very menacing.
It is very menacing. It is very menacing. And I felt threatened, and I thought I had no choice. He came to my house and picked me up and drove me to the clinic. And I went in alone, and he waited in the car while I went in and had the procedure.
So she has now conducted this interview. I don't believe that her name has actually come out, but she's shown her face, and this is America, and she's accusing a Republican of doing something bad. So her identity will be revealed inside of like a day, and then the next few years of her life are probably gonna be a living hell. And she is willingly taking on all of that to try to make sure that people know who Herschel Walker is, in her view, these are allegations, and the experience that he put her through. And she's doing all of that, I'm sure knowing on some level that the vast, vast majority of his supporters do not care and will not care. They're not interested in making sure that she's on the record. They're not interested in evidence. They're not interested in his position. They want him in power. They want a Republican to take the seat. And so for her to risk what I'm assuming are tons of death threats and threats of sexual violence and all that, just to try to get what she believes to be the truth out, is incredibly brave. Maz, what do you think?
I mean, you're absolutely right. They don't care. It's like when I remember when Trump was running and the tape came out, the Access Hollywood tape came out. I specifically remember being in my hotel room in San Jose, getting ready to go do a show at the San Jose Improv. And when I heard about the tape, I go, oh, it's over. You know, him criticizing McCain didn't do it. Him going after another gold star military, that didn't do it. I was like, but when he said that thing about women, it's gonna do it. And it didn't. They don't care. They do not care. The number of women that came forward under Trump and said that he assaulted them, which clearly he's such a douchebag, which we know he clearly does and did. He admitted on the tape that he would do that.
Yep.
they don't care. So now with Herschel, they don't care. And when I hear this poor lady's story about her experience with him, I realize I used to be a Herschel Walker fan. I used to be a Dallas Cowboys fan back in the day. But when I hear him spew the things that he spews, first of all, listening to this lady tell the story, we realize he's a psychopath. Because on the one hand, he's threatening that you and the kid could be killed. On the other hand, he's writing beautiful birthday cards and sending them to her. I mean, that's psychopathic behavior. And secondly, he is just not fit for the position. So when you compare Raphael Warnock to Herschel Walker and you tell me that they're running neck and neck, my head explodes.
Yep.
I go, how is this even possible? Like, even if you're a Republican, you got to say, all right, I'm going to vote for a Republican that's sane and or capable of being in this position. He is not. He is Trump 2.0. Totally underqualified, totally just going to be there and going, well, if he were to win, all right, what should I vote on? I should say yes on this and no on that. Great. And then the thing, I keep taking it back to this whole thing of the Islamic Republic of Iran. People like Herschel Walker, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, they want the Christian Republic of America. And that's an ugly place. I'm here to tell you from the experience of an Iranian, you don't want the Christian Republic of America. So please don't vote for Walker. Just don't do it, please.
I felt very similar to you when that tape came out in 2020. Oh, those were simpler times, more naive
2016,
yes, you're right. Dear God, it's been 6 years we've been doing this. But yeah, 100%. And it's the sort of thing, like, it wasn't just that we thought it would be disqualifying. Like, if you're new to politics, I know a lot of people watching this show began watching in 2016 or in 2020 during the pandemic. This sort of thing did used to stop your candidacy. People would drop out or lose because of scandals. That was a thing. And now I wonder, like, did it have to be? Did they have to drop out? If they just chose, no, just nothing matters, and nothing matters, God is dead, I can do whatever I want. Like, would they have been fine? Because they certainly seem fine now. Even if you don't believe these allegations, Herschel Walker has told us he held guns to people's heads and considered killing them until the voices in his head told him not to. You shouldn't need any other allegations. His own word is disqualifying. And yet, as Maz points out, he's at most a point or two down. Horrifying times.
And Fetterman as a concept is dangerous. Is here, he had a stroke. Now, could he have taken care of himself better? Wait, let's just leave that aside. He can't help the fact that he had a stroke.
Right.
And but what we know, and the doctor said last night on CNN, he had a major stroke. In fact, Fetterman's admitted that he won't release his medical records. But what you saw the other night, as we've been tracking very closely, in fact, our transhumanist editor, Joe Allen, is actually in Pennsylvania, is that he has a machine in front of him. It's not a closed caption like you would watch TV and want it to be quiet while you were working on something else and have the closed caption. No, this is a machine that actually helps his brain think through. Without the machine, he can't understand human conversations. He can't engage with people. So we actually had, and we call it a cyborg, you actually had man-machine merger on that stage the other night.
Are you supposed to be in prison, Steve Bannon? I guess he's not in there yet. Anyway, enjoy your freedom briefly, spending it talking to Diamond and Silk. Everyone watching this, you're probably a bit confused about what you heard. What are they saying about John Fetterman, that he can't understand human conversations? Tip to Steve Bannon, you can just say conversations. That's how humans talk. That's the only sort of conversations, unless other animals are talking to you on a regular basis. You don't make claims unless there's a reason to make them. And so you might hear him say that John Fetterman is now a cyborg and think, well, this has got to be based on something, right? No. No, John Fetterman uses a closed captioning service. That's what he uses. It hears stuff and it puts it into words for him. But that's not sensational enough to derail a candidacy and make the guy who sells you mountain berries a senator. And so they've come up with this idea that he is a cyborg, that the program is the one doing the thinking for him. It's all nonsense. It should be below us, Maz. But unfortunately, he is now the second millionaire that has barked that theory at me, following up Tucker Carlson from a few weeks ago.
These people are, first of all, I will take a cyborg Fetterman over Dr. Oz any day. I mean, talk about people that don't talk like humans. Dr. Oz, crudité, as Fetterman said, we call that a veggie platter over here in Pennsylvania. It's a tough situation for this guy to be in, because Fetterman is clearly a better candidate, and for him to have had that stroke makes him vulnerable to these types of attacks. I'm hoping people continue to see through the fact that Dr. Oz is just a total fraud. He's been a fraud his whole life. I mean, the fact that he was living in Jersey and running in Pennsylvania. He's just a bad candidate. They really picked bad candidates. I mean, even Mitch McConnell said, he goes, we've picked bad candidates. And so now they're putting as much money as they can and trying to find as many excuses as they can to convince people to not vote against their bad candidates, vote for their bad candidates, which is, again, Dr. Oz falls into that, into the Herschel Walker category. He's just not qualified to do this. He's been a charlatan his whole life. And but again, the Republicans just want it so badly that they'll say things like this, you know, creating these rumors of the guy's a cyborg. Wouldn't that be great if like he won and for his acceptance speech he was like, I am a cyborg and you have fallen for my trick.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Maz, wanna thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. Stay safe out there, stay sane out there. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.